And praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, do you have your Bibles or something that contains your Bible? Praise God. Go ahead and open it up to Proverbs, the 10th chapter. Proverbs, the 10th chapter. Amen. Glory to God. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that we have here together. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy, all that you do for us, Father God. Thank you for this blessed time that we have to just worship you and to praise you and to hear your word. And I pray, Father God, that there will be ears open to hear your word, hearts open to receive your word. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word. Because I remember the words of Jesus, which states, without him, we can do nothing. So, Lord, I'm well aware that I can do nothing without you. So I thank you for your help. I thank you for your guidance. Hallelujah. Thank you for your abilities working through me as I minister your word to your people. And Father, we'll give you the glory, we'll give you the honor and the praise for it all. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I didn't hear everybody. Shout amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I have been ministering for the past few weeks resting in God. And that's so important. Oh, dear God, it's so important because people have issues. People have issues. Christians have issues. Especially when they don't know the Word of God and don't know what God has to say about their situation, about their circumstance. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, if you're not walking in it already, hopefully you are, the peace of God is available to you. The rest of God is available to you. Amen. The chastisement of our peace is placed on him. Jesus suffered so that we can have peace, so that we can have that peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. In the midst of whatever storm may be going on at that particular time, God's called us to walk and live in peace. Can I get another amen on that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. But I also began to minister to you on hindrances, things that can hinder your peace. And sometimes we ask ourselves, why? Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why is this the way it is? But you ever notice sometimes we ask God questions we really don't want the answer to? You know, there's, and believe me, you know, I'm not plugging movies, okay? Because most of them are not worth watching. Well, I didn't get not one amen on that. Really? I mean, you know, between crawling in and out of bed and all the profanity and you have to deal with, most of them's not really worth watching. Now, thank God there are a few clean ones out there. But I got to get my train of thought back there. I kind of got off on the movies. But there are reasons that we deal with things, and there are reasons when sometimes it seems like our prayers are not being answered. We're not seeing things change that we've been praying about, and we ask God why, and the reason I got off on the movie bit was because I don't know the name of the movie, really don't have to know the name of the movie, but I used to hear folks talk about this movie that went to it, and some of you probably recognize it right away when I make this statement. But there's a part in the movie where one person told another person that they couldn't handle the truth. His statement was, "You can't handle the truth." Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Now, some of you probably can tell me that I didn't ask for a show of hands. You probably can tell me the name of the movie, who said it, and what the circumstances surrounding it. But my reason for bringing that up is because sometime we will seek God, and we'll ask God, why God, why God, why God, but then we don't really want the truth. Because the truth many times will require change on our part. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the truth will require change on our part because the Word of God already declares that God is a good God. The Word of God already declares that He loves us. The Word already declares that He have blessings that He wants to bestow upon us. Hallelujah. But there are things that hinder prayers. Amen. Glory to God. So my subject today and I'm, like I said, it's kind of like a chain, you know. I'm just hooking on to what I, linking up to what I've already ministered to you, and you'll probably hear some of it again. But my subject today is living God's way. Amen. Living God's way. Amen. Now, by now, you should have Proverbs chapter 10. Let's look at verse 29. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29. It says, "The way of the Lord is strength for the upright." See that? "But destruction will come to the workers of iniquity." Read that again. "The way of the Lord," everybody say, "God's way."
God's way.
"The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity." Hallelujah. So we need to live God's way. Now, I want you to go all the way back to the first book of the Bible. Genesis. chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Hallelujah. Now, in Genesis chapter 18, I won't read all of this, but I want to read one verse to you. And it is verse 19. And God is talking about Abraham here. He says, "For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep what? The way of the Lord." Well, what is the way of the Lord? "To do righteousness and justice, that the Lord," what? "May bring to Abraham what has been spoken to him." Now, I think I need to read that again. "For I have known him, in order that he may command his children." And by the way, parents, we need to command our children. In other words, teach them the ways of the Lord. Amen. That's a whole nother message, so I won't go there. But he says, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may," do what? "Keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice." What else, Lord? "That the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." In other words, that the promises of God may be fulfilled in his life. I want the promises of God working in my life. When I look in the Bible and I see where God has promised me health, and God has promised me peace, and God has promised to meet my needs, and God, all the promises that God has given me, given us, I want to see those promises working in my life. But in order for those promises to work in my life, then I must keep the way of the Lord. I must live God's way. And God's way is to do righteousness and justice, to do what's right. Brothers and sisters, believe me, in this world we live in, there is right and there is wrong. They're both staring at us. And every day we make a choice as to whether we're going to choose right or wrong. And if you want to know what confusion really is when you try to split the middle. Some folk call it straddling the fence. You know, you want a little wrong to satisfy the flesh, and you want a little right so to make sure that you make heaven. And it puts you in a state of confusion. Amen. Glory to God. Now, you hear me quote this verse all the time, and you'll certainly be hearing me quoting it some more. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. How many of you, and be honest with me, how many of you have ever been tempted to do wrong? Come on, tell the truth. How many of you have been tempted to do wrong? But let me help you out. That's every one of you, including yours truly. You still here? We've all been tempted to do wrong. But because we were tempted doesn't mean we have to do it. Amen. Well, you know, Jesus was too. So in Matthew chapter 4, I'll just read the first four verses. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came, that's, by the way, that's who the devil is. He's a tempter. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Look at verse 4. This is where I'm going. But he answered and said, it is written. See, we need to know what's written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. That's where it's written. See, we need to live by what's written. We need to live by what's written in the Word of God. Now, we all know this, that had Jesus yielded to the tempter, had he yielded to the tempter, the devil, he would have had a miserable life, and so would we. He would no longer, listen to me, he would no longer have qualified to redeem us from our sins. But he did not. Jesus was successful in his ministry on this earth, in his life on this earth, because he refused to yield to the tempter. He refused to live the world's way. Now, I hope you're following me on this. I believe you feel the same way I do. When I go before God and I'm praying to God, I want my prayers answered. I want my prayers answered. If it lines up with his word and his will, of course, then if it doesn't, we're just wasting our time. But I want my prayers answered. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. And we won't go there, but the Word of God talks about husbands and wives getting along, especially husbands, you know, being good to their wives. Amen. Because we're told that when there's friction between the husband and the wife, it can cause our prayers to be hindered. Right? Because there's something there that's blocking our blessing. And it is something that we need to deal with. Y'all still with me? So I have to look around, and I have to judge myself by the Word of God. You know, what do I need to change in my life? What do I need to change? If I have the wrong attitude towards my wife, I need to deal with that. I need to change that. If I have the wrong attitude towards a brother or a sister or anyone for that matter, if I have the wrong attitude, I need to deal with that, because that's going to hinder my prayers. That's not God's fault. That's something that I have to deal with. God's not going to do everything for us. He's not going to do everything for us. There's some things that we have to do. There's some changes that we have to make. Some folk are tore up on the inside. They're tore up emotionally. They're just tore up. They're just not at peace. Things just don't seem to be going right, when all they need to do is just get some things right. Go ahead and deal with some issues. Go ahead and forgive some people. Go ahead and repent before God for some things. See, we're living in a time now where folk don't like to talk about repentance too much. Oh, no. You judging me now. You judge me. You know what the Bible says, thou shalt not judge. So they fall back on the judging deal. Hallelujah. So the inner peace and the inner rest comes. Listen to me. The inner peace and inner rest comes when we choose to do things God's way, not our way. And that's the reason some folk don't have it. I want to go back. I know I've been there a lot, but we're living in a time now, see, where we want to reinterpret the Word of God. Okay? Especially when the Holy Spirit is convicting us about something in our lives, something we're doing. And so we want to reinterpret the Word of God. For example, you know, there are some folks, even some preachers, that's preaching right now, there is no hell. There is no hell. Folks, that's a lie. Because, listen to me, if there is no hell, then that means there is no punishment. I can do whatever I want to, as long as I want to, because I'll never have to pay the price for it. So, I mean, you know, if there's no hell, then, you know, I could have me a woman in every state, one in every country. After all, it's okay whenever I leave him, going to heaven. And that's for only, you know, that's if you even believe in heaven. But there are wages. The wages of sin is death. We do have to pay a price for the decisions we make when we purposely choose to disobey God and to go our way. But because we are living in the last of the last days, have to be very careful, because folk now are trying to twist the Word of God to make it say what they wanted to say. You follow me? And I've been dealing with this a long time, but I want you to get it. I'm called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true gospel. You hear me? The uncompromised word of God. And God hadn't called us to change it. He's called us to proclaim it, to preach it. Amen. Are you still here? So I want to go back to where I was the other week in Jeremiah chapter 6. You can go there if you want to. Jeremiah chapter 6. Matter of fact, go ahead and turn there. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. I'm sure you already have it in your notes from weeks past. But I want you to get this. Oh, it's so important. In Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it." The old path, the good way, is the word of God. Not watered down word of God. You hear me? Not watered down word of God, but the word of God. Walk in it. Don't try to change it to fit what you want to do or how you want to live. And then he says, if you do that, then you'll find rest for your souls. But of course, the people, you know, rebel. They didn't want to do that. Verse 17 says, "Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen." And there are people today, there are people today that are saying, "No, I'm not listening. I'm not listening to the old way. I mean, I'm not the, you know." We living in modern times. This is 2021 now. We living in modern times, so we do things different now. Well, when it comes to the word of God, it don't change. It's still a sin to lie. It's still a sin to hate. You hear me? It's still a sin to backbite. That's just good old-time preaching there, ain't it? Yeah. It's still true today. Let me read it to you one more time from the New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what I want you to get. When we do it God's way, we find rest for our souls, inner rest, inner peace. That doesn't mean things are not going on out here. Of course they are. Stuff will be happening until Jesus come. Matter of fact, according to the scriptures, stuff going to be happening after Jesus comes. And there's going to be, the Bible says there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. That's called the millennial reign of Christ. And there'll be 1,000 years of peace. It talks about it over in Revelations. We won't go there. But it says even after that, oh, by the way, before that, the devil will have been put in the bottomless pit. And that's the reason there'll be 1,000 years of peace. He will be in the bottomless pit. But at the end of the millennial reign, guess what? He will be released, and guess what? Start confusion all over again. But this time, the word of God tells us he won't be placed in the bottomless pit. he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. He and the false prophet and all the demons and the angels that fell, all of them would be in the bottomless pit. And sad to say, all those that left this world without Jesus. Wow. Be in the bottomless pit. But there's coming a time when there's going to be peace. Amen. But there's confusion in the world, there's turmoil in the world, but we are supposed to have this inner peace, this inner rest that we can walk in. You hear me? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I like Proverbs. Turn on the screen. Give me Proverbs chapter 23, verse 10. Speed this up a little bit. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 10. Listen to what it says. Do not remove the ancient landmark, nor enter the fields of the fatherless. What I want to focus on is remove the ancient landmarks. I think the best way to understand what I'm getting at is don't move the goalposts. You ever seen these people that you know, they can't win, so and they don't have the ability to win. So what they'll do, they'll move the goalposts. God says, don't move the goalposts. What do you mean, Pastor? Don't change a thing in my word to meet what you want to do. You abide by what I said. Hallelujah. I shared with you that's the reason the devil don't want you to hear the word of God, and he don't want you to do the word of God. So we're living in a time now where people are changing the word of God, and sad to say, some folks that are ministers are changing the word of God, confusing God's people. I want to tell you, I don't want not one drop of your blood or anybody else's blood on my hands because I didn't tell you the truth. Are y'all with me? Are you following me? Am I confusing anybody? See, we can live in peace. We can live in victory. But there are hindrances to our peace. There's hindrances to our rest when we choose to do things our way and not God's way. Hallelujah. I like what Job said in Job chapter 23, verse 12. He said, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You hear that? I want to read that to you again. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Hallelujah. And that's the attitude that we need to take. I treasure the word of God more than my food. And we all need food. But I treasure God's word more than my necessary food. Now, I want you to, and I'm going to go just a few minutes here, but I want you to go to the book of Jude. Book of Jude. Hallelujah. I'll just pick it up at verse 1. It says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Look at verse 3. Beloved, while I was diligent, follow me on this. Beloved, while I was diligent to write to you concerning your common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, let me stop right there for a moment. Matter of fact, put the New Living Translation of verse 3 up there. Listen. He says, dear friends, I had been earnestly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. He was getting ready to write to the saints something else concerning salvation, but the Holy Ghost said, no, I want you to write this. Hallelujah. Now in verse 4, it says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord and, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all still here? You're going home. All right, again, let's look at New Living Translation, verse 4. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches. Saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. Whoa. Well, his grace covers that. That's what they say. Live any way you want to. His grace got you covered. Matter of fact, some folks want to say that 1 John 1:9 don't mean what it says. It does mean what it says. Well, what does it say, Pastor? It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why they say it don't apply? Because they're saying we don't even have to confess our sins anymore. Grace got us covered. You can go slap your mama. Don't worry about it, Mama. Grace got me covered. Because if you had a mama like mine was, you will only do that once. But 5 to 7 days later, they'd be having your funeral. But come on, now see, these are the days we're living in now. And this is the reason, that's the reason there is no peace in some folks' lives. Now let me read it again. I want to read the whole thing again. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches. Come in, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, won't he do it? Oh, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Some of them come into the churches hunting the females or hunting the males. And they already got a female or a male. But kind of like we used to say out in the country, they wanted some more. In other words, they were wolves in sheep's clothing. They knew enough of the Bible to mess up some lonely woman or some woman full of lust. Is it all right for y'all? I'm going to let y'all go home here in a little bit. Is it all right, y'all, if I read that again? I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. And listen to what it says. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago. Didn't catch God by surprise. For they have denied our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. When you go against his word, you're denying him. You're calling God a lie. I'm so glad that by grace I am saved. How about you? By grace I am saved. I am born again. I am washed in the blood. But that does not give me a license to sin. Doesn't give us a license to sin. Let me say again. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Make you stay longer than you want to stay. Help me out. Cost you more than you want to pay. Amen. Oh, I could go on, folks. But we'll be back. We'll be back. But my point in all this is God is faithful. But sometimes folks' prayers are not answered. And I know the devil can hinder things, try to hinder your prayers and try to throw stuff in. But we have to take a look at ourselves and see, what am I doing to hinder answers to my prayers? Do I have wrong attitudes? Do I have wrong desires? Do I just want to do things my way, the way I want to do them? And not the way, see, some folks, all they want God for is just fire insurance, you know? Just fire insurance. Lord, if you just keep me out of hell, that's all I want from you. If you just keep me out of hell and let me come to heaven, that's all I want. And you know, you just let me handle the rest. I'm closing. But you know, when we get saved, we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And Lord. Well, if he's Lord, that means he's telling us what to do and what not to do. And we sing the song, for he is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. How does the rest of it go? Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means he's in charge. Amen. That means he's supposed to be in charge of our lives. But we all have a free will. We can allow him to be Lord over us personally, or we can reject him. But when we do that, we're asking for trouble. We're asking for trouble. Amen. Has this blessed you? I say, has this blessed you? Well, now, listen, if you were under conviction, you still being blessed, that means you got God's attention and he talking to you. I want God talking to me. I want him to let me know if I'm missing the mark somewhere. I want to know about it. You hear me? I don't want to be about to fall off the cliff thinking I'm okay. Glory to God. I'm not going to preach again. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. May we walk in the peace that passes all understanding, by living your way, by living our lives.